Welcome back. 3:49, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And at this time every Tuesday afternoon, we're joined by Jim Robbins with the Robbins Report. Jim's a Washington Times senior editorial writer, and he's on the line right now. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Andy. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I see you've taken some time out of your busy schedule watching Barack Hussein Obama at the UN and other places today to talk with us. I appreciate that.
Oh, my pleasure.
Did you see his speech at the UN?
I read the transcript of it, and it's all very nice. You know, he quoted Gandhi.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's a typical Obama speech. You know, like 4 years later, does he still think that's going to make a difference? I don't know.
Yeah. I've been looking at some of the editorials from the week, and one I got a charge out of was Mr. Obama, stop praising Islam. He does have a knack for doing that, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, he did that today, saying the future does not belong to those who insult the prophet Muhammad. And, you know, that's all well and good, but over the years, as he has said this, after every outbreak of violence, it has not stopped these outbreaks, and in fact, has even encouraged people who see him saying time and again how great Islam is, but then when things like the flag is desecrated or churches are burned or other things like that, kind of silent on that.
Yeah, and I noticed that he only, I think he used the word terrorist one time today, and it was not even referencing the event in Libya, so he's steering clear of that as well for the most part.
Well, he probably should steer clear of that because it was not just a major tragedy for our country, but a major embarrassment for his administration, or it should be seen that way. There was a lot of warning that something bad was going to happen in Libya, and for one reason or another, the intelligence was disregarded, the security just wasn't there, and we lost some good people. So, yeah, I'm sure he doesn't want to talk about that.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting you bring that up because my question has been, where was the CIA in all of this? And do we still have a problem of agencies communicating with other agencies or other, you know, or administration contacts in the CIA? You know, do we have a failure to communicate behind the scenes going on, or did the CIA simply not have the information?
Well, that's a good question of whether the warnings that were coming from the Libyans were passed on, whether someone at the agency was trying to alert the White House that there was a problem or alert the State Department. It's really an interesting question. We don't have enough information yet. The Secretary of State was given an opportunity to brief the Senate on this matter and chose not to. We had some senators coming out of there very angry about that. And, I mean, we're just not going to know until the administration opens up on this, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, a couple of the people that she evidently talked with said that she gave more information to the New York Times than she did to them.
Well, is that surprising? They've always done that. Maybe they'll give more information for the movie version.
And then, of course, they were upset with CNN because they used parts of what they found in the journal from Chris Stevens.
Oh, yeah, I read about that exchange. There were some profanities flying back and forth about that. But, you know, CNN, it was legitimate news gathering. They found that journal. They used what was in it. And that gave us a lot more insights into what was really going on. And if Chris Stevens knew that Al-Qaeda was gunning for him and he was sent there anyway, then the question is, how did he know that? What information did they have? And what information should we now know?
Yeah. True. All right. I noticed today that President Obama referenced the movie, the 14-minute video, what is it, The Innocence of Muslims, and it appeared that he once again was pushing blame off on that.
Well, he can do that all he wants, but the fact is when they're tearing up the American flag, raising the banner of jihad over our embassy in Cairo, and burning him in effigy in the streets, you have to figure that some people are mad at us. You know, when they're chanting death to the U.S., but the president maintains that this is 100% about that YouTube video, I mean, yes, maybe that video was a catalyst. Obviously, people are upset about it. But they're upset about much worse things than that. So he should really get off that focus and look more to the reasons why people are really mad at it.
Yeah, well, don't worry, because the UN is going to pass a non-binding resolution, I'm sure, that will give, that'll ban insults to any Muslim.
Oh, yeah, that'll work, plus, you know, more Gandhi quotes. I think that would really help.
We found out something this week, and that is Egypt is our friend, is our frenemy. That's a new term that's developed over the past couple of weeks. We don't quite know what Egypt is, or at least the president doesn't, and it appears that even Morsi from Egypt doesn't quite have a handle on it yet.
Yeah, I really liked how all this worked out. They have a mob that storms our embassy. They tear up our flag. We then thank Egypt for securing our embassy. Then President Morsi comes out and says, "Hey, you know what? If you want better relations with us, you're going to have to change. We're not changing." Like, what is the problem with this scenario?
Yeah. It was interesting this morning. I don't know if you caught it, but on MSNBC, actually, they got into a little tiff, the crew there, Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough. They sort of went round and round about this president and his foreign policy. And a little later, they had former British Prime Minister Tony Blair on the show, and he said that the United States should give up on being loved as long as it remains the world's greatest power. And I think he hit home with that, because Obama's got this fantasy, I think, in his mind that the world has got to love him, and they do. It's just sometimes they don't show it.
Well, the Pew Global Center has done polling that showed that really the bloom is off Obama charisma, that his ratings have been going down every year. So he really should give up on this notion that he should, he shows up and suddenly his charisma is going to determine things, because the international realm is determined by state interest. And it doesn't matter how charismatic you are, it doesn't matter how good a speech you can give, countries have their interests. And he's just going to have to recognize that. Our whole strategy is based on the notion that if everybody got in a circle and sang Kumbaya, everything would work out. And that just is not the case.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things they were talking about this morning on MSNBC is the fact that he hasn't built these one-on-one relationships with foreign leaders, nor has he done it at home with his own political types, whether it be on the left or the right. And that's part of the problem. He goes into a place, he gives a speech, he thinks that's all he has to do, and he turns around and he leaves.
I think the guy, he just doesn't know what it takes, because all throughout his career, he was just the guy, he was the wunderkind, he could show up, he could give a speech, everybody would nod and say, "Isn't he great?" and then move on. And unfortunately, now he's dealing in a realm where everybody is not hardwired to agree with him or to love him or anything else. They have their interests. So he shows up, makes a speech, and leaves, and they say, "Great, let's just go on and do what we want."
Yeah. And finally today, I wanted to mention something that Mitt Romney brought up. In fact, as recently as just a couple of hours ago, he's calling for an overhaul of America's expensive foreign aid program, suggesting that some of this unrest in the Middle East and other places could be taken care of if you simply cut the purse strings. You agree?
Well, of course, there are two sides. One side says that that would destabilize things even more, but given the direction things are going, if we don't use the leverage that we have from that money to get things to calm down, then we're just funding the extremists. So I do agree that we should at least threaten to do it to see if that has any impact. But it also has to be a credible threat, because if things continue to go the way they are, we would actually have to cut it to get their attention.
Mm-hmm. All right, my friend, as always, great to have you on the program. We'll do it again next week. Have a good one.
You too, Andy.
Thanks. Jim Robbins, the Robbins Report, heard every Tuesday afternoon right here on Andy Parks Live from the Washington Times.